Hey there, folks. Rob Hessler here with another episode of Art on the Air, my weekly Do Savannah special. This is a really interesting episode I've got lined up for you this week. I spoke with Megan Jones, and she is a fine art photographer whose work can be found locally at Gallery 209. She is also the owner of Savannah Glamour, and she has had a very, very successful business career so far as a young artist. And I think that for those of you who are listening out there who are young artists, maybe you're just graduating or maybe you're getting close to graduation, Megan is a really great resource, somebody that I think is going to offer you a lot of wisdom, because she has really just clawed and fought her way to a successful career, not by giving in to anything, but by following her own path as she sort of found her inspiration just going through life after graduation. And I think that it's really interesting. She's also a really great interview because she is a member and co-owner of Oddlot Improv. So she knows how to speak publicly. So she was a really great interview, really fun to talk to, and just got a great personality. So anyway, I wanted to mention, of course, you can catch past episode of Art on the Air here, my Do Savannah specials at dosavannah.com. Last week, for example, I spoke with Lori Judge and Aaron Wessling. It was a really great interview talking with them, as well as Tatiana von Tauber. Had two episodes last week, and Tatiana is owner of the Studio School and an artist herself. So a lot of great content here at dosavannah.com relating to the arts, and you can catch it all here. Read my little articles and also listen to the interviews, which are embedded in each one of those articles on a weekly basis. So without further ado, though, let's get to this week's interview. Megan Jones, artist, owner of Savannah Glamour, and co-owner and member of Oddlot Improv. Rob Hessler here with Art on the Air. I'm on the phone today with Megan Jones, and we're going to be talking about her artwork, her businesses, and what she has been up to. Now, Megan, before we get started, I'm going to introduce you in a way I don't always do when I have guests on the air, but you sent me over one of the most epic short form bios that I've ever received from an artist I've had on the show. So I really want to read this bio because it's awesome and it shows a lot of confidence, and it's also kind of funny. And so I'm going to go ahead and read this. Megan Jones is a local Savannah artist and businesswoman who is deeply driven in making a living with her artwork. She attended SCAD to study photography and was released unto the Savannah community in 2011 to begin building her empires. To date, she owns an elopement photography business, a women's glamour portrait studio on the river, co-owns an improv troupe, and in her newest venture has started selling her stunning landscapes in Gallery 209 on River Street. I love the confidence that you're displaying in that. So let's get started here first and foremost. I have you on the show today because I know you've recently begun to partner with Gallery 209 and become a part of that. So I want to talk about your fine art photography. Before we get into that, I want to kind of take a step back here and talk a little bit about how you got into photography. So you went to SCAD. How did you sort of first find your love for photography?
So, first of all, I kind of studied photography in high school. And I've got to tell you, I'm actually blushing really hard that you read my bio on the air. So thank you for that. Every time I'm asked for a bio, I write a new one, and I don't know why. I just like writing them. And so that one I wrote for you, for the moment, took me 3 minutes to send it along. So I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I actually did see your bio on Gallery 209's website as well, which actually you can find gallery209savannah.com. But yeah, so you found your art, your love for photography in high school, but you decided to come to SCAD to study it. Now, were you thinking business with your art when you started at SCAD, or were you just kind of like a fine art photographer who was just kind of wanting to explore your creative instincts?
That's a great question. I actually have always loved art in general. I took all the art electives in high school, and I learned quickly that I can't draw, and I don't have the patience or time to really practice drawing. And so photography was one of those ways where there's a very rigid way of doing it, and then within that, you can find your creativity. Because if I'm given all of the colored pencils in the world, I see too many and I don't think it looks good. But with the rigid formality of a photograph, it's very literal in its essence. But within that, you can find your artistic voice. So I definitely came to SEAD as an artist. I came to create and learn photography. And I didn't actually learn anything about business at SEAD at all. It was afterwards kind of moving through my life of what am I doing that I kind of stumbled into people who were making a great living as photographers. So I came as an artist. I ended up a successful businesswoman, as it turns out.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely insane. You know, we're friends on Facebook, and, you know, I've been following your photography business, Savannah Glamour, which you can find at savannahglamour.com, and I just recall you, doing elopements, and it would be like, I've got two elopements today and one tomorrow, and it'd be like, you'd have, 30, 40 elopements in a given month, and then you opened the studio down on River Street, and your business was just absolutely exploding. I mean, did you have any sort of thought, when you're studying photography, oh, I'm going to make this, super successful photography business, just within a couple of years of graduating?
Not at all. Actually, when I was a dad, a lot of me and the different people in the photography department were scared about our futures. We were worried that there wouldn't be a future for us. I had family friends telling me that I'd never make it because there was no way to make a business out of photography. I was told that I would end up shooting still for Best Buy catalogs, and that would be my whole life. And, I actually switched to advertising as a major for 1 quarter, and I hated it desperately. I was good at it, didn't like it, swapped back to photography. I'm like, I'm just going to have to figure this one out. So we were all kind of worried about our future, and even when I graduated, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. Who knows? It was very up in the air.
Let me ask you about that to a certain extent, too. So, because you have the business going now, and it's really just been in the last few months that it's become clear that you're kind of focused again on your fine art photography. It's only really been recently that you've gotten involved in Gallery 209. So how did you kind of bridge that gap there where you're taking photos for elopements, you're taking glamour photography in your studio down on River Street? How did that kind of transition happen where you're making artwork that, has a sort of commercial side to it in the sense that you're working for clients to making your own personal artwork and being involved in a gallery? I assume that you've been kind of working on that fine art photography during that entire time, but it's really just sort of become obvious to me, at least, really just since you've gotten involved in Gallery 209. So how was that kind of process working for you?
So there is certain steps that everything took, and it was kind of the perfect combination. I started with, I'm a freelance photographer. If you pay me money, I will take your picture, and that's what it was. And so I was hired to do all sorts of strange things, and I quickly learned that children are not for me, and I didn't want to burn up kids. And I learned that big weddings, 8, 10, 12-hour days, were not for me. I did not love it. But I was looking a little bit, and I was like, I kind of like this. You know, they have me for about an hour. I photograph the ceremony, and then I just get to make artistic photos of them. And I don't have to worry that I got the picture of the bride with the mom and the bride with the bridesmaid and this one and that one. I didn't have a list of things. I could just kind of flow through a creative session with a couple who just got married and they're happy, but the family's not really there. So with my love of elopements, I started looking more and more until I hooked up with a company called Savannah Custom Weddings and Elopements, who offers package deals of those things. And with that company, I've been with for 5 or 6 years. And last year alone, I photographed 147 elopements.
Oh, so that's insane.
It keeps me really busy. Yeah. And so with that success came the question, what do I really want to do? What's my true passion? Because I was so passionate about elopements, so I was like, I know there's something that I kind of fell into elopements. Let's make up our own thing. So I kind of turned toward, I like working with women. I like working with deep brides, and I like working one-on-one with women. And so I dreamed up Savannah Glamour as a fourth studio. And while there's a demand for elopement photographers, there's not a huge demand for glamour. People think of glamour shots from the 1980s, and they're not really thinking about having photos of themselves as much anymore. People just take selfies and they're not super into it. So while there was the demand for a local photographer, I had to create the demand for Savannah Glamour because people were not Googling it, they're not looking for it. So I had to become my own essence of a thing you could do in Savannah.
That's so cool. And I really want, you know, this is one of the things my wife, Gretchen Hilmers, who, of course, you know as well, before, you know, was kind of scheduling this interview and we were talking about your business and, you know, just so impressed with how successful that you've been and what you've been doing. What I think is really interesting, and I think something that, you know, young artists can hear in what you're saying is that, like, you found what you were interested in. Like, you weren't just like, okay, well, I'm going to do whatever photography job comes along. You mentioned the Best Buy catalogs when you were in school, but even beyond that, like in your own actual personal life, you know, taking photos of children wasn't for you. Taking photos of large scale weddings wasn't for you. So you abandoned that and just focused on your passion. And I think that that's a really important thing for people to hear, because I think a lot of times artists and creatives in general feel like they just have to take whatever they can get instead of just like focusing in on doing what they really love. And if you go to SavannahGlamour.com and you can see these images, yeah, I think it's a really interesting comment that you make there, because I remember those sort of like hazy, dreamlike glamour shots from the mall. And
the leopard print hats, the boas, the leather and jacket with fringe. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
They're kind of awesome now to look at. Like, you know, if you look back on those, they are kind of awesome. But I could see, you know, people might have that image, but like the photographs that are on your website are much more, they actually are glamorous. Like, it's not, it's like a real, they're classy, you know what I mean? It doesn't have that kind of feel about it. So I think it's really interesting to hear you kind of mentioned that you found a passion and were sort of trying to develop that. So how was that early days? Like, how you're trying to get people to buy into something maybe that they either have a somewhat negative or even kind of comical preconception about, or don't really have any idea of it at all because everybody has a camera on them. So why would they pay somebody to take a photograph of themselves? Like, how was that? Like, how did you go about marketing the business in those early days?
So I kind of just started, because you have to start at the beginning. And I started creating the work that I wanted to be doing. And then I started posting it on Facebook and Instagram. I think Instagram was a thing when I started. And showing people what I had to offer. And the thing that's different between me and glamour shots of the 80s is my photos are not dated. And so the goal is that these women can keep the beautiful albums they have and show their grandkids, like, look at that, grandma was hot. And so these things we're doing, these photo shoots, I call them an experience. Like, it's not just show up and we make some pictures. People come into my studio and sit on the river and they have their makeup done and I have this glamour closet with over 200 gowns, lingerie, shoes, and jewelry. And so we play dress up, we get girly, and then we kind of have an experience and we have this photo shoot, and I'm a cheerleader for every person who comes in. And it's something that people, like, I never thought people would come back for more, but I've started a new wave of people coming back for their second and third photo shoot with this style of photography.
Wow, that's really cool. And, you know, Savannah is such a great backdrop for this, too. I mean, there's just
it is.
So many.
That's my main thought. With our trees and, like, the streets and these homes, Savannah is the perfect backdrop for something like this.
You know, it's cool, too, because, you know, I think of my grandmother was a professional ballroom dancer. And,
wow.
You know, she was, like, in competitions and stuff like that. So they took these, like, beautiful photographs of my grandmother, you know, like, in the 60s and 70s, and they were kind of a lot like what you do actually now, and they weren't cheesy at all, and you're right, they had this like classic feel. Now sure, it, you know, they look like the people are in the 60s and 70s because that's what the style was in the 60s and 70s, but like now I can look at those photographs and, you know, she's 20 years passed on at this point, and they're just these beautiful, elegant photographs that are like really kind of, I don't know, they do her a justice that, you know, like a selfie's never really going to do that kind of thing for people.
No, we're not making keepsakes when we're turning our phone on ourselves or posting something on Facebook. We'll be like, hey, I got Starbucks today. what Savannah Glamour is doing is making these keepsakes for people, for themselves, first and foremost, but for their families, like you said, later on.
Let's take a step towards your fine art photography that you're doing for yourself personally, though, now, and your work over at Gallery 209, because I took a look at your portfolio, which you can see at thesavannahsquares.com. That's thesavannahsquares.com, and you can see some of your work up there. You can also see some of your work at the Gallery 209 website. But this is a little bit of a different project for you. So sort of describe what you're doing with your own personal fine artwork.
About 5 or 6 years ago, I put it upon myself to photograph Savannah Square in the HDR style, which is high dynamic range, which is style photography, where you put the camera on a tripod, and you take an exposure for the shadows, the highlights, and mid ranges. And so you have three photographs on a tripod, and you mix them together in a program that makes everything look like how your eye sees it. So all the shadows are exposed properly, the brightness are exposed properly. And there's a way to make it very surreal, but it's kind of a literal thing. So I kind of went to each Savannah Square and took a few photos of each square in the high dynamic range style. And I had this big portfolio of beautiful photos. And the goal was it was going to be a book. And my husband, Chris Ducey, wrote a beautiful poem for each square. And so we had these poems and we had these photos. And then when we tried to get the book made, I fell off the bandwagon because I realized how much it cost to make a book, and I was like, oh my god, I can't do this right now. And so I kind of didn't think about it anymore. It just sat on the wayside. And then when the pandemic hit, I was out of work, of course. Everybody was staying home, and so I had never had so much free time in my life. I kept a little bit of, I worked very hard all the time. And so with this free time, I was kind of just browsing Facebook, and one of my Facebook friends posted in a group and said, hey, we're looking for new artists at Gallery 209. Write me if you're interested. And I was like, oh, I'm interested. So I got in touch with her, and she told me it's basically a collection of Savannah-based artists who are featured in the gallery. If you'd like to be there, you have to basically send a resume and a portfolio and then interview in. And it was kind of a rigorous process. I had a Zoom interview, which was very stressful. And I ended up getting accepted into the gallery. And so from that point, for the next month of basically quarantine, I traveled around with the basically empty Savannah, which was a gift, and took even more landscape for the gallery and just focused on making these beautiful artistic photos so that when things opened back up, I was ready with a portfolio of beautiful prints and metal prints to sell.
You know, that's so funny, and I don't know why I didn't even put this together. I guess because I've been so super quarantined because my wife has got asthma and I've got the, you know, 8-month-old baby, so it's like I've been even more quarantined than many. But it just occurred to me how I'm like looking at your photographs on thesavannahsquares.com and some of the images that you sent me, and yeah, there's like no people in any of the photographs, and I wasn't even really like putting it together. Yeah.
Yeah, I was so lucky. It was just the perfect timing. There was no cars on the street. The city was empty. I moved so easily through the squares because, you know, midsummer here, when it's not like this, packed with people, cars on every single spot, it's nuts. And so I kind of had to run of the city to make even more landscape.
Now, part of one of the series that you are working on in this, or I guess you might call it a sub-series of what you've been doing, are shots at night. And I found those to be particularly interesting. Talk about that, because, you know, it's kind of a different experience to be exploring a vacant Savannah at night. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it was creepy, for one. Of course, Savannah, we know, is pretty haunted. But between the quarantine, our schedules made no sense. My family suffers from insomnia, and so there's times when it's 3 in the morning, we're just watching something, and I'm like, I need to do something. I have been sitting here all day, and so we would all, me, my husband, and his daughter would get in the car, and we'd head downtown, and we would drive to a spot, and then just walk around, and it wasn't too hot at that point. It was completely empty of people, like nobody here, and we just had this peaceful, quiet city. And so I could set a camera up on a tripod and make a longer exposure because it was so dark and just, like, capture different things. I got one at City Hall where it's just, like, no cars at all. At City Hall, it was lit up red. It is so lit up red at night. If you haven't seen it, it's very spooky. So I put that photo in black and white. I'm like, yeah, it's black and white. Yeah, because it's so, so ended up being one of my favorite photos. It turned out so cool, and it's just so deserted downtown.
Wow, well, that's really cool. You know, I want to kind of, this is way off topic here, but I kind of want to talk about this a little bit just because you've mentioned Chris now a couple of times, and Chris Soucy is Megan's husband here for my, our listeners out there, and Chris has actually been on Art on the Air before. He helped me with a Halloween skit a couple of years ago, actually, where he was playing Dr. Frankenstein, and we did a little fake interview with Chris, and you and he are not only a have a partnership in as husband and wife, but you also are the main folks behind Odd Lot Improv. So that's an interesting kind of way to, I don't know, blow off steam, do something else. So talk a little bit about Odd Lot Improv, because I know many, I've mentioned it many times on the radio show before, but I think it's something that is that people really in town really do get to enjoy, although obviously now it's a little bit different. But talk a little bit about Odd Lot Improv.
Sure. So Chris started Odd Lot Improv with Justin Kent, I think just over 10 years ago now. It was probably March 10 years ago. And I was around from that point. I wasn't dating Chris yet, but I loved improv. And Chris and Justin were both actors who had no time for rehearsals. So they're like, what do? We don't have any time for rehearsals. And they decided to start an improv troupe because it was, like, easier, and they didn't have to rehearse. They could just show up and do things. And so right when it started, just before, it was called Literally Improv Week, and they would improvise their way through a book that no one had read, I believe. And so I would go to all the shows, and I was a super fan, and it became all about improv from after that. And, again, I was always there, front row, and I love improv. And I was on staff improv troupe as well, but when it came around to auditions, they asked audition, and I have terrible stage fright. I'm like totally petrified at the stage and people, but they asked me to audition, and I'm like, I guess I will. And so I did. I auditioned for Justin Chris, and they wouldn't tell me. Like, they made me wait as long as everyone. And at this point, I've auditioned with me because I started dating within the last, I think, 6 months. And I'm like, please tell me. And they wouldn't say. And so they told everyone. So they made me wait. And finally, when it was released, I found out I had made it onto the team, and I was so elated because of how much I loved improv, and I was so excited to be part of Odd Lot Improv. And so when I graduated SCAD a year or so later, I was already dating Chris. I was already on an improv. I'm like, I am now leaving this. Like, this is awesome. And I stuck around. And about 2 years ago or so, me and Chris bought out Odd Lot so it could be our own with another couple, Chick and Tara, who were on the team. And we kind of ran Odd Lot from above the Savannah Coffee Roastery for 2 years. And just now, because of the pandemic and everything, we have given up the space that Odd Lot performs in, but it's not the end of Odd Lot or anything. We're still going to be performing once safety is had with, like, groups of people.
Well, and I also talked, and I know that Do Savannah, you know, where we're doing this interview for Do Savannah, what also did talk to you guys kind of recently about some online stuff that you were doing. And I happened to, I was just on Facebook one day and you guys were doing this incredible, really high production value online improv, you know, your games and everything. And it was like, I just was like sitting on my couch, just basically laughing my ass off, like at some random video that I came across that you guys were working on. So, I mean, definitely. I know you guys, that's unfortunate that you're not in that space anymore. That was a beautiful little theater, but with the social distancing and stuff, it's really pretty much impossible in like a small space like that to really kind of get people together in a safe way. So,
and there was no circulation up there. It was truly unsafe. We couldn't put our players at risk, and the audience was there. People were like, tourists were like, aren't you performing? And we're like, no, go home. So we just wanted everyone to be safe. And like being able to give up the space, this rental was a good move because I don't know when we'll be back to performing. But when we did announce we had to close, we had several theater companies, including Savannah Repertory Theater, who offered to let us perform in that space when things are safer again. So we will still have performances, but currently we're doing once a month on Friday evening on Odd Lot's Facebook fan page, which is just an Odd Lot Improv. But it's this interactive improv show where we're each in our homes with a screen on, and we kind of pull together and pull off an improv show online.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, a couple of years ago, I actually went to one of your shows on my birthday. I mean, I've been a bunch of times, but I went on my birthday a couple of years ago, and it was just like, I don't know, it's always a good time. Well, look, Megan, I know we kind of have had a wide-ranging interview here, and I've mentioned a couple of times thesavannahsquares.com as your personal photography website and savannahglamour.com as your one of your business websites. Did you have any other ways that if people are interested in finding out about your work, maybe your Instagram handle, other things, if people want to kind of learn a little bit more about you and your work?
Yeah, so there's a couple things they can do. They can, of course, go to the website. And then on Instagram, it's savannah.glamour. So there's a period between the two words, and glamour has a U, like the fancy spelling. But I also encourage them to go to Gallery 209. If they feel safe, they wear a mask because we require masks. But it's on River Street, and there's another 30 artists in the gallery, and it's just beautiful. So they can stop by if they'd like to check out the artwork. And if they look for the big metal prints of landscapes in Savannah, that's fine.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Megan Jones, for spending some time telling us all about your artwork and your business background here for Art on the Air today.
Thank you for having me. It was so fun.
That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Art on the Air with your host, Rob Hessler. Listen every Wednesday for our live show, broadcasting from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on 107.5 FM, Savannah Soundings, and worldwide at WRUU.org. And you can catch past episodes on the WRUU station archives on our website, as well as on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. We'll talk to you next week, where we'll have another batch of Art on the Air.